But this morning we're going to go ahead and get started. If you take your Bibles and open up to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Anybody in here do pottery? Anybody? Nobody do pottery? If you did, you probably have a better explanation of it than I would. But we're going to go ahead and start in verse number 20. Just read two verses. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he should be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these folks coming out, Lord, and thank you for the opportunity to be able to stand here and behind this pulpit, Lord. I'm not worthy to be here. Lord, I pray that you would just move me out of the way. I ask that you would cleanse me from my sins, Lord. Wash me in the blood. Help me to say, Lord, something that is useful to these folks. They came to hear from you, and they didn't come to hear from the man standing behind the pulpit. And Lord, I pray you just bless everything that we do here today. I pray that your word goes forth and encourages us and rebukes us and help us to draw closer to you. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to be able to serve you and just help us to continue on our daily walk to grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you haven't figured out by now kind of what we're going to discuss, it's not really a teaching. I'm not really a good teacher in that aspect. I'd rather just do it. You can ask my wife. So we're just kind of, it's kind of be more like maybe just a little sermon along the aspects of that. But I'd like to spend just a few minutes this morning looking a couple things about what the Bible says about a vessel. If we were to title this, we could say, I would just title it Our Vessel. Or we could also look, I'm kind of going to want to look at it from the aspect of what is the condition of one's vessel. And just for a definition's sake, because sometimes people like to know what a definition, there's many different types of definitions of a vessel. But for this aspect, we're going to it's a cask, you know, a utensil. I just went to the dictionary. Barrel, bottle, kettle, cup, dish, whatever you want to call it, right? And so, we all know what the word means, right? But for today, I want us to ask ourselves, how are we doing from a few different things? How are we doing when it comes to being on the potter's wheel? And how are we doing in allowing ourselves to be used as a vessel? And kind of, and from this verse here, which kind of vessel are you? And that's kind of where I've been thinking along this lines for a while, and kind of where my mind has kind of been. But if we start in Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 8, you don't have to turn there. It says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art the potter, and we are all the work of thy hand." So we know that we are the clay. And the Lord is the potter, right? Our goal that we should strive for is to be the clay that the Lord can take and mold and shape us into that perfect vessel that he chooses. And you may ask the question, well, how do I do that? Where do I start? How do I maintain? How do I stay on the potter's wheel? How do I be an honorable vessel, like it says in verse 21. And so those are all great questions. You know what's unique about us versus like the physical aspect of pottery is I don't know much about pottery. I've never done it. If anybody you've been here for a long time, you remember Brother Ingleseth was through, and he's into pottery, and he did a really good he had a whole thing set up. He did pottery while he preached. And So with actual pottery, though, from the way I understand it, is you got your clay, you make something, you fire it, it hardens, and that's your object. That's what you use. But versus us, we can be molded, constantly being molded. We can be on that potter's wheel. He's always can be changing us. We can be tried. We can be going through the fire, getting hard. You know, we become a vessel. But we're always, I believe we can always be molded into a way that he would have us be. Versus with the actual object, that's it. You can't really take it back and remake it clay again and start over. You have to get a whole new piece of clay. So there's a whole bunch of other, you know, there's a whole bunch of other preaching and teaching in that aspect as well. But for today's purpose, I'm kind of just looking at just that side of it, of more along the line of what kind of a vessel are you? And let's turn it over to Jeremiah chapter 18. And just a few things, a few thoughts that I got here. Jeremiah chapter 18. We know that the Lord's talking to, or we know it's about Israel here, but we can also apply this to ourselves. Verse number 1 says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." And in verse 5, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." We can apply that to ourselves on a daily basis. But what's the first thing that we need to do? The first thing that we need to do is to arise. We have to go. You have to get up. You have to get moving. You have to move from where you are. If you want to become better at something, you have to work. You have to move. You have to try to be better. You have to practice, right? If you shoot guns, if you shoot archery, if you shoot pool, or whatever you want to call it, you have to constantly be doing it to get better. If you train in anything from running to weightlifting to boxing to wrestling, whatever, you have to continue to practice. You have to continue to move to get better. And this goes with us. If we want to be better in our Christian life and our Christian walk and be a better vessel for the Lord, we have to do something to be better. And the first thing we have to do is we have to arise, we have to get up, we have to be moving. What came to mind was to me was the slothful man in Proverbs. The way of the slothful man is an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Proverbs 21:25 says, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hand refused to labor." If you don't move, you ain't going to get anywhere. And it's hard to move in a hedge of thorns. It's hard to move. Think of like raspberry bushes, or you think of buckthorn. That's a pretty invasive plant here. And you get tangled up in some buckthorn, you ain't going very far very fast. But to get out of that, what do you got to do? You got to pull your hands out of your pockets, grab your loppers, and start cutting those branches. You got to do something. You got to do something. You know, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you had to move, right? Yes, he came to you, but you had to move to receive the free gift of salvation. You had to accept it. Kind of like Peter when he was sinking in the sea. He had to extend his hand for the Lord to take it, to reach them. He had to do something. And for us, we have to arise, we have to go, we have to be moving. And in verse, it says you have to go down to the potter's house. To be molded, we need to be in the potter's house, where the words of God are spoken and taught, and be softened and be stuck to the wheel so that we can be molded. And I'm going to refer to the potter's house as church, as the house of God, where the Bible's preached and taught. Yeah, we can do it from our living room couch, but it's not the same as getting up and going and paying attention and being amongst everybody else and being accountable to everybody else and saying hi to the brethren, shaking the hand you don't want to shake, and so on. It builds, it's all those little aspects along the way that help us become a better, a more moldable Christian than you care to maybe care to desire. When you're not forced to say hi to somebody you don't like or care for or shake their hand, you tend to then become self-centered. And you can take that for any aspect, no matter what your job is, right? There's people that work you don't care. But by you being that nice person, I have a boss right now I don't really care for. He's not a very pleasant guy to talk to. And we nicknamed him the bird dog, because he's bird dogging around and he'll sneak up on you, he'll park down the street and he'll walk up on you and trying to catch you doing something. So, you know, if anybody hunts with dogs or anything like that, a bird dog, right? They're sneaking, right? And boom, they're there. And so, but I told one of my coworkers just on Friday, I said, yeah, I don't really care for the guy, but I said, I'm going to treat him, be overly nice to him, because eventually if I can get through him on that avenue, it might break him down a little bit. You call him on the phone, what? This is a supervisor in a professional setting. So, I mean, that's just the thing. So by when we're forced to do something outside of our comfort zone, it helps us to become molded. It helps us to have a better appreciation for different things, I believe, and different people. It helps us to be more grounded. And that wasn't in my notes, but, and I know you guys hear this, we hear this a lot here, right? And but, you know, I know myself, and I think if everyone in here is honest with yourself, that the moment you walk out those doors, the thoughts and temptations will creep back in, and they'll be discouraging to you. And they're going to discourage you from continuing to go to the potter's house. Each one of us has been made a vessel that has seemed good to the potter. But the thing is, we don't want to stray away from, yeah, we want to be a vessel for the potter's use, but we also want to be able to stay moldable, stay on the wheel, so that he can always continue to make us a better vessel. He's made us a vessel that seemed fit, but he can make us a better vessel. He's made each one of us on how he wants us to be. Some are going to be bigger, some are going to be smaller, some are going to hold more precious things than others. And there's many different kinds of vessels, but they all can be used for different aspects of things, but they all have a certain role. Turn back with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. So here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we have a great house with many vessels, right? Just like I was saying. Some of gold and silver, some of wood and earth, some vessels of honor and some vessels of dishonor. And the question I ask is, how are we doing? Which vessel are you? And it's when you sit and you ponder that question, it's kind of discouraging, kind of sad to think of what the answer is. And I believe if we're honest with ourselves, we're probably teetering on the line of being more of a dishonorable vessel than an honorable vessel. Because why? Because we have that old man in us that would rather fill that vessel with carnal things, fill that vessel with things that don't mean much, be a wood and earth vessel. And I'm not just, you know, that vessel, that wood and earth vessel, when it's put up against the fire, what happens? It's gone. It's ash. And it doesn't stand up for anything. It'll be burned right up. But if we're honest with ourselves, we'll be teetering on the point of being an earthly vessel. And that old man, every day you have to put him down. Every day it's a fight. And it would just be so much easier not to sometimes, right? But then when you sit and you look at different aspects of life and different people and things that people go through, and just think of yourself where you would be if you given in completely to that old man. And you can't help but think of someone shared the gospel with you and you accepted it and you understood it, right? But think about the state you were in before you got saved. And I think about from my life personally, I was privileged enough to get saved at a very young age. But I think about it of where I could be if I didn't have it, if I wasn't saved, you know. And just from looking at other aspects of life and being in around other people, you get to see different things, and it makes you thankful for what you have. But we would rather fill our vessel with junk. We would rather just put stuff in there that's for us, that makes us look good, makes us happy. But what do we need to do? We have to get rid of that carnal stuff. We become carnal, thinking only about me. Why not? It's all about me. That's the way we think. That's the way naturally human beings think. It's all about me. If you drive around town enough, you get used to people only looking at the end of their hood and nowhere else, because they're thinking about just them and what they want to do and where they want to go. They're not looking at the whole picture. And that's the thing with us. We need to be more of looking at the whole picture, not just thinking about ourselves. And I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just, as we go through life, I'm just a young guy. And I don't feel, there's a lot more people here a lot older than me that have lived a lot longer than I have and more wisdom. But I'm just things that I've seen and noticed that you have to just look at the bigger picture and not be so closed-minded. Because what happens is we become unusable for the master's use. If the master is not going to use us, if all we're thinking about is me, he's not going to use me. And that's if that's how you want to be, we can't change it. I can't change it. Nobody can change it but yourself. And if you think your earthly vessel is going to hold up to fire, that's on you. But you know, there's so much in us that we become unusable for the master's use, and we've gotten so much stuff in there that there's no room for what the master wants to put in our vessel. And what a dishonor that is to him. What a dishonor to the potter that made that. You think about, you go into a shop, I guess, and you know, a pottery shop. I was not that long ago, I was in a lady's house, and she does pottery, and she had all the things she made. And if I just took that and put that and broke it, that'd be pretty dishonorable to her. Or she made that pot, made that thing with an intention to hold a specific thing. And then somebody came along the line and filled a bunch of stuff in there, she would be disappointed because it's not what she intended it to be. But there is hope. There's hope that no matter what we have put in there, it can be cleaned out. It really can. Because Paul says here in verse number 21, if a man then purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Purge. You have to purge. You have to get something out, right? That means there's something in there. And we need to get ourselves either away from those that are dishonorable vessels, or I'm a dishonorable vessel, I need to clean myself out. And by doing so, we will be made a vessel, we will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. But the other thing is, we need to keep coming back to the potter's house and empty the junk out and get washed out all the time. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Coming here on a regular basis is going to get you cleaned out. And Wednesday, halfway through the week, is a good day to get cleaned out. As much as sometimes it's tiring and you know work drags you down, it's good. And if you don't make it on a Wednesday, probably by Sunday you're really full. You're probably going to need somebody to bring you in here on a two-wheel hand truck, so you'll be so full, you know. But you guys know what I mean. But where do we empty? We come in here, we get preaching and teaching. We have the chance to empty it here, and get cleaned out and get a fresh start. But if we can't keep it empty, right? We got to fill it with something. The minute we walk back out there, something's going to be standing out there saying, hey, your vessel's empty. Let's put something in there. And before you even get to your car and put the key in, you've got junk in your vessel already. And it's like, oh, so much for that. But it gets frustrating, right? So here's a few things. I have some notes in my Bible here, but here's a few ideas of some things that we can put in there. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter number 15. We got to fill it with something. And if we don't fill it, somebody else is going to fill it. And I would rather do my part to put in there what I want put in there and what the Lord would want put in there. But Romans chapter 15, verse 14 says, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. There's a lot of things that we can put in there. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I'll start with verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. But there's some good stuff right there you can put in your vessel. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing, but be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. All these things take work. It takes, you have to do so, you have to physically, you have to put stuff in there. You have to put stuff in there. Colossians chapter 1. Verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, that and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And the will of God, if we're not constantly going to the potter's house and hearing the words of the potter, how are we going to know what his will for us is going to be? And all this stuff goes hand in hand. And we'll turn back to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Put some joy in your vessel. That'll help you get through the day on a daily basis. And I know out there, there's a lot of things in life that takes a joy out of it. It takes work to find joy in a lot of things. But keeping your vessel full of joy will help you on a daily basis. When we are filled with spiritual things, the Lord will be able to use us in the way he wants to. I mean, that's pretty 101. You may say, the Lord can't use me. I'm broken. I'm so out of touch that my vessel can't hold anything. And I think we've all been there at some point. Maybe some are there now. I don't know. How's the Lord going to use me? You're going to ask that question to yourself. I can't do anything. The Lord can't use me. Oh, but he can. But what do you got to do? Arise. Keep coming back to that. You have to get up. You have to do something. You got to take your broken self back to the potter's house. And you have to say, Lord, here's what I got. I'm sorry. And you know, he can take those broken pieces and he can start putting them back together. And I'm thinking along the line of like, yeah, we're still supposed to be, we should be in a state where we can be molded. And that's a softened state. Here I've likened to the broken pieces as now we become that hard vessel. And I think of someone trying to, you drop a thing in a vessel and it breaks like a clay cup or whatever. And then you get out the super glue and you're trying to put it back together because that's what I'm thinking in this instance here. And the Lord's picking you up into pieces like that, you know, and he's trying to put you back together. And you're like, well, how's he going to use this? I'm broken. Here's all my pieces. And a cup, right? A round thing. And it's broke. And what does I was thinking like this. A broken piece of a pot is like a disc on a plow. That can be used as a tool. He could take that piece right there, and you got your mindset right that you want to make it right and get back to doing what the Lord wants you to do and say, Lord, this is all I got here. Well, he can take that and he can use that as a plow. And you can go along and you can start turning up some soil. And you know, it could change. It'll change your mind. You change your attitude and your character and the way you act by giving him that and saying, this is all I got, Lord. Take it. Do what you want with it. And you know what? That little bit of plowing, someone's going to see the change in your character, the change in your attitude, and they're going to look at you and say, what happened? What happened? What changed in you? And you know you have a chance right there to tell them, to be honest with them, and to tell them what happened. And then you know what? You could be a part in helping that individual down to the potter's house. You can say, hey, come here. This is what happened. I took who I was. Let me take you and show you who helped me. And you can take that person, or you might be a vessel that's kind of got a lot of holes in it. Can't carry water, But you know, you could carry seed. And what happens when there's holes like a colander, right? Seed falls through there periodically. And now you're planting some seed. You're going with your brother who has that plow. And you're, now be careful though, because don't get yourself saying I'm better than you. You need to both stay at the same mindset and work together. He's going along and he's tilling up the ground. And you're coming along, you're both on the way to the potter's house and some seed falls out. And then another brother that needs some help, he's got a big crack but he can hold some water. And he comes along behind you and then some water dribbles out on that seed. You see where I'm going with that? It can be a help. There's all these different aspects. And like I said, someone's going to notice. But you might say, well, I'm not the best vessel around. Look at me, see how beautiful. Oh, no. Here we go, back to what I was just saying before. Sorry about this. Being careful of not putting yourself above the other. Because what happens? You say, well, look at me. Now I'm the big vessel. I'm full. I can be used. Look at me. Look how beautiful I am. Look how strong I am. I can carry anything. I don't have any cracks or holes. And the Lord can do with me whatever he wants. Everyone should be like me. Oh, you'll get quick to think that. We really will. Because what do we have? Pride. Be careful. So wise one. Don't forget about what Proverbs 16 says. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. How about this? Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. We would rather be a vessel of honor and be humble and be available for the master's use than a vessel that is all glorious and a look at me type of a vessel. I don't know if everybody does, but most people probably have some sort of a china cabinet or some sort of a spot where you keep special dishes. We have one china cabinet, and what we put in there is stuff that never gets used. When you think about it, it's kind of pointless. But it's different. What we've done is all the places we've traveled throughout, we've put little trinkets in there and stuff like that. But we were in Estonia, and we got some of these clay cups, coffee cups. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I want to drink out of that. So we put it in there. It never gets used, but it's cool to look at. You know? But what's the point? What's the point of that specific vessel other than just to look at? And if you're that type of a person or that type of a vessel that says, hey, look at me. What happens with that type of vessel with most people? You put it somewhere and it never gets used. And who's to say the master's not going to do that to you? He could put you on a shelf and say, oh, he's too proud. I'm not going to use him. And what good is that? Is he going to do me? And so what would we rather? I would personally rather be that boring looking Tupperware container that can be used for anything. When you think about them, they're just a plain color, nothing to it. But it's available. It's always there. You're always using it. Think of the stuff in your cabinet that you always use on a continuing basis. And that's what we should strive to be. And that's it. Your vessel may have holes in it where you can't hold a drop of water, but like I said, but you can hold some seed and you can walk around planting the Word of God. And like I said, somebody can come along and water it. And each vessel is made, we're fit for the master's use. But don't get stuck on the fact that because of fill in the blank, because of whatever it is, God can't use me. Get in your mind that he can use you in whatever state you're in. He can use you in whatever state you're in. He can, no matter what stage of the vessel you are, from the broken pieces to a full one, he can use you. But you have to be willing. You have to be willing. And that's the thing with life. We can always sit back and wait for something to come along our way, but if we're not actively pursuing, if we're not actively like trying to do something or trying to get, like I was explaining to someone this morning, he's going to go through a class of something and being introduced to a bunch of different things. And I said, but pray about it, but be willing to move, be willing to try each one of those things to see if that's something you want to do later in life. You have to be willing. You can't just sit here and say, oh, I'm going to be a plumber, and I'm going to wait for the guy to come and hire me, ask me to help plumbing. Well, how do you not know if that's what you want to do if you don't try it? You have to try something, but you're not going to know until you try if that's what the Lord wants you to do. And when we went on our first mission trip, probably some of you heard this, is, well, why did you come? I think Brother Sturtz asked me, well, why did you come? What made you come? I said, I had no reason to say no. And he's like, really? I'm like, no, I had no reason to not come. So why not go? And by taking little steps like that, you're not going to know what the Lord's going to put in your path. But if you're always coming up with a reason to not do something, you're never going to get anywhere. You're never going to get anywhere. But first of all, the first thing we need to do is you need to be willing to go down to the potter's house over and over and over. And you got to keep getting repaired. A chip here, a chip there, a chip here and a chip there, a crack here, a crack there. You always got to get repaired. And we always need to stay moldable so that the Lord can keep molding us and making us better, making us stronger, being able to do more things. But we have to keep coming to the potter's house. And it takes many different vessels to complete the work of God, right? You guys know this. Have you humbly made yourselves available? Have you humbly made yourselves available? And I can't help but think about what's currently happening right now in Malawi. And at the first meeting on Friday night, there was 150 souls that got saved. And there's been 150,000 gospels passed out in Blantyre alone. Now, there's also numerous chick tracks that have gone out as well. But why is that? Why is that? Because a bunch of different vessels in completely different conditions that have gone down to the potter's house and said, here I am, Lord, will you use me? Now, because we're here, I'm not saying anything like, well, Lord ain't going to use you because you're here. No, I get that not everybody can go. I'm not there, right? Not everybody can go. But whether it be across the world or in your own backyard, has the Lord asked you to be available? Has he asked you to be available for whatever it might be? It doesn't have to be a mission trip. I just brought that up because we're in the middle of a campaign right now. And because you guys are here, it's just as important for us here as it is those there on the ground, because if it wasn't for us here praying and supporting, the work, it would not get done there. And all, like the Brother Darling has said, this is because there's hundreds of vessels that have said, I want to do something for the Lord. And from donating funds, we have funds coming in from all around the world. It's really amazing how far reach this is. And people from all around putting scriptures together, different churches. They physically can't go on a campaign, but they can do that. And that's where I'm getting at. And that's what is that's what I'm saying. I'm not picking on us because we're here and that we're not available. That's not what I'm saying. But each one of us has things to work on. Each one of us has things that we have to keep getting purged out. And when your bucket gets so heavy, get a buddy to help you carry it. And help get a buddy to help you carry it back in here and get cleaned out. I'm just as guilty as the next person. This is a buffet. You've heard it said before. This is a buffet. And if we go out of here hungry, it's our own fault. It really is. And you can't go to Old Country Buffet anymore, but you can't go to Old Country Buffet, and if you walk out of there hungry, well, that's your fault. And they say thanks for the money. But it's your own fault. So I ask you, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Which vessel are you? An honorable one or a dishonorable one? And that's all I've got. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,